Welcome to The Thriving Christian Artist, the podcast where we hope you connect with God to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live as an artist in His kingdom. I'm Matt Tama, your host. Let's get started.
Because all of those fears come up, don't they? Because you try and you're like, oh, I can't. Oh, no, it's not very good. And you crumple it and you throw it out. And here's what I would say as well. The thing that will stop you from having a good prayer life is trying to have what a good prayer life should look like. God doesn't want what a good prayer life should look like. He just wants you. He doesn't want your perfectness because we can't be perfect. He just wants you, your stumbling, bumbling, faulting, falling self. That's where our creativity, you know, because here's the thing that will help you to write your creativity, to write your poetry, the only way to write good poetry is to write tons and tons of crap poetry. It's the only way to be a writer. That's what you do. You just write crap, and out of the crap starts coming the goodness. So my challenge, my creative discipline is that I write a poem every day. That's my creative challenge to myself. I'm a dad, a husband, a touring performer, speaker. I have a four-year-old and a two-year-old. Sometimes my poem that I write is one sentence while I'm sitting on the toilet and they're banging on the door. Who knows what I'm talking about, parents? When you sneak away to do a minute of creativity before your kid cries. But I choose to do it every day. And most of that poetry is crap. Most of it's not going to see the light of day. But the best stuff that I've ever written, that I get to perform, take and edit and construct and play with and work out how I'm going to perform it, that I get to stand up and perform in front of stadiums to thousands and thousands of people, it was written from exactly the same place. And most of the time when I write those really amazing ones that I like, it's like when I'm writing it, it's a hard slog. And I'm like, oh, that's crap. I fold it and I put it away. I'm like, oh, I wrote Hopeless today. I never throw it out. I never crumple it up and throw it out. Why? Because I come back late 2 weeks later and I take a look at it and I'm like, oh, actually, there's something really good in that I didn't see before. And then it's often when I'm like, it's 3 a.m. and I'm feeling inspired and I'm like, yes, this is flowing. This is amazing. I come back a week later. I'm like, what the heck was that? It doesn't even make sense in the slightest. Inspiration does not have to be pending for our poetry. You discipline yourself. You discipline yourself to create, regardless of whether you feel like it, regardless of whether you think it's going to be good or not. You create, you write, you take the time, you put it in your calendar, you make sure you write a poem every day or whatever it might be, your creative exercise. Choose it. Choose it. Write crap poetry. Paint a crap painting. Who's a crap artist in the room? Yes! Crap artist. Let us let ourselves off the hook. Let yourself off the hook because then you might actually start creating. And after a while, you'll look back and you realize I've created some really beautiful, amazing things that I can take and I can work hard. This is not about not working hard. And this is not about leaving it as crap poetry. This is about then putting in the discipline and the hard work to take that and craft it and mold it. Every first draft is going to be crap. Or S-H-I-T, as our wonderful friend Anne Lamott says, if you've read Bird by Bird. Is that what it's called? I love Anne Lamott. She's amazing. Every first draft is meant to be crap. That's what it's there for. It's meant to be crap. Then we take it and we work on it. But to start with, we need to step aside from our editing brain, our perfectionist brain, and just let ourselves flow and not worry whether it's good or whether it's bad. Stop treating it like a bomb and just have fun with it. Like it's not going to explode in your hands. Let yourself off the hook. Let yourself off the hook. Let's go to the next slide. Make a mark because it's the only way to begin. And the next one. To live a creative life, we must lose our fear of being wrong, says Joseph Chilton Pierce. And then make a mess of it because it's the only way to grow. Make a mark and make it messy. Go to the next one. Julia Cameron again. Remember, your artist is a child. So find and protect that child. Learning to let yourself create is like learning to walk. The artist child must begin by crawling. Mistakes are necessary. Stumbles are normal. These are baby steps. Progress, not perfection, is what we should be asking of ourselves. This can go against the ego's grain. We want to be great, immediately great, but that's not how recovery works. It's awkward, tentative, and even embarrassing process. When my kids were learning how to walk, I wasn't standing over them judging them. What parent would do that? Get up! But that's what our inner critic does, doesn't it? Paint better than that. You know what? That's what we think God does as well. You can do better than that. You can do better than that. God doesn't want your perfection. He just wants you. Stumbles, fumbles, and all. We're going to read to kind of begin to finish. Oh, actually, let's go back to Vincent for a second. Then I want to read you a kid's book, and then we're going to finish by getting you guys to write some poetry. This is what we heard Vincent say before, but let's go to the next one. I took it out of context. Let's bring in the context. He says this: just slap anything on when you see a blank canvas staring you in the face like some imbecile. You don't know how paralyzing that is, that stare of a blank canvas is, which says to the painter, you can't do a thing. The canvas has an idiotic stare, mesmerizes some painters so much that they think they're idiots, become idiots themselves. Many painters are afraid of the blank canvas. But the blank canvas is afraid of the real, passionate painter who dares and who has broken the spell of you can't once and for all. And life itself too, remember we're saying creativity and life and spirituality, relationality, all these things connected. Life itself too is forever turning an infinitely vacant, dispiriting blank side towards man on which nothing appears any more than it does on a blank canvas. But no matter how vacant and vain, how dead life may appear to be, a man of faith or woman of faith, of energy, of warmth, who knows something will not be put off easily, he wades in and does something and he stays with it. That's the challenge, isn't it? In the midst of our creative box and our fears, it's to wade in and do something and stick with it. How does he say it starts? Just slap anything on. Just start. Just start and not worry about whether it's going to be good or not. When you do something that you look at in this crap, go, I'm on my way to goodness. I'm on my way. Don't crumple it up and throw it out. Let's go to this kid's book, Ish by Peter H. Reynolds. Does anyone know Ish? A few people, because it's one of the best books ever. And it's about to become some of your best favorite books. Ramon loved to draw. Anytime, anything, and anywhere. He looks a little like me sometimes. One day, Ramon was drawing a vase or a vase of flowers. His brother Leon leaned over his shoulder. Leon burst out laughing. What is that? He asked. Ramon couldn't even answer. He just crumpled up the drawing and threw it across the room. Leon's laughter haunted Ramon. Anyone feel a bit haunted sometimes? He kept trying to make his drawings look right, but they never did. After many months and many crumpled sheets of paper, Ramon put his pencil down. I'm done, he said. Marisol, his sister, was watching him. What do you want? He snapped. I was watching you draw, she said. Ramon steered, I'm not drawing, go away. And Marisol ran away, but not before picking up a crumpled sheet of paper. Hey, come back here with that. Ramon raced after Marisol, up the hall and into her room. He was about to yell, but fell silent when he saw his sister's walls. This is one of my favorites, Marisol said, pointing. Oh, that was supposed to be a vase of flowers, Ramon said, but it doesn't look like one. Well, it looks vase-ish, she exclaimed. Vase-ish. Ramon looked closer, then he studied all the drawings on Marisol's walls and began to see them in a whole new way. They do look ish, he said. Ramon felt light and energized. Thinking ishly allowed his ideas to flow freely. He began to draw what he felt, loose lines quickly springing out without worry. And Ramon once again drew and drew the world around him. Making an ish drawing felt wonderful. He filled his journals with tree-ish, house-ish, boat-ish, afternoon-ish, fish-ish, and sun-ish. Ramon realized he could draw ish feelings too, like peace-ish, silly-ish, excited-ish. His ish art inspired-ish writing. He wasn't sure if he was writing poems, but he knew they were poem-ish. Pond, ponder, dream, yonder, pond, pond, yond, yond, gleam, wonder, by Ramon. And then one spring morning, Ramon had a wonderful feeling. It was a feeling that even ish words and ish drawings couldn't capture. He decided not to capture it. Instead, he simply savored it. And Ramon lived ishly ever after. Has that now become your favorite book? Peter H. Reynolds is incredible and all of his stuff is amazing. I highly recommend him. He's got another book called The Dot and another book called Sky Color, and both of them are just as brilliant as this one. So let me tell you two things about this, and then I'm gonna get you to write. First thing is the obvious connections to our creativity. Just allow yourself to paint-ish, to poem-ish, to write-ish. This week as you create, let yourself off the hook and just play and have fun. Turn off that judge and that negative inner critic. Tell them to go away. And if it keeps on coming back, you know how you get past it? You know how you I was about to say give it the finger. I'm not sure if that's an Australian colloquialism that might translate too harshly over here. But you know what I'm talking about. You know how you do that? You just paint anyway. When it comes up, you just say, I've heard you, mate. And I'm going to paint anyway. I've heard you, fear. Yep, I've heard you. It's like Elizabeth Gilbert says in Big Magic, look at fear. Don't deny it. Don't run away from it. But just say, you're not having the driver's seat today. You're in the back seat today. If you haven't read Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, you must. It's an absolute must creative book. Here's what Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. She's the one who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. Here's the other thing that I want to pick up about this book. And then we're going to get into writing. Most of us think that God is like Brother Leon. That God is leaning over our shoulder, looking at our lives, going, you messed up. You messed up. You better repent. You better repent. You messed up. You know who God's actually like? Sister. God's like Marisol. All those times that you have crumpled up your life, all those things that you have deemed as unacceptable, that you've crumpled them up and thrown it on the paper and said, I've screwed up again. I stuffed up again. I did this. I did that. It discounts me from God. God is looking over my shoulder and doesn't like this, doesn't like me in my life. All those times you thought that you were discounted because of what you have done, you know what God does? God comes in and he picks up the crumpled sheets of the paper of your life and he takes them into his room and he plasters them all over his room and he says, look at what my daughter did. Look at what my son did. It's glorious. Look at their life. It's so ishly beautiful. Do you get what I mean? God is saying that he wants to sit with you amongst the crumpled pieces of your life and unfold them and bring his redemption to them. So no more guilt and no more shame. Christ took that on the cross. Don't live in it. Give it. Give these crumpled sheets to God and say, put them on your wall, please, because I can't handle them. And let him do that. Let him do that. Amen? But we're not finished yet. Pull out a pen and paper or a phone. Because we're going to take this stuff and make it a reality, don't we? And I want to do that quickly now. I'm going to get you to write something and then I'm going to get you to go with a partner and possibly read it to them. You can pass if you want. And you can pray for each other about this. I want you to think about who you are. Think about who you are. I want you to write, I am, on the top of your paper. I am. And I want you to be honest. I don't just want you to bluff over things. Be as honest as you can. And I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to do some metaphor work. That's what we're going to do right now. As a poet, metaphor sits at the heart of what I do. And the way we're going to do it, this is where my creative process always begins of my writing. I begin my creative process with flow of conscious writing. Flow of conscious writing, for those who don't know, is where you put pen to paper and your pen is not allowed to stop writing, or fingertips to iPhones and your fingertips are not allowed to stop typing. It's where you show up and you write, and what it helps you to do is it helps you to step aside editing brain and force yourself to write. Anyone who stops writing immediately has to leave the grounds and can't come back. I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to start. I'm going to give you 5 minutes straight, flow of conscious writing. You're not allowed to stop writing for 5 minutes. I'm going to time you. Oh yeah, I'm harsh. 5 minutes straight and you're just going to answer this question. Don't worry about whether it sounds good, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's silly, whether it makes sense or anything like that. It's just about you. See if you can speak from the heart. See if you can find a flow and just let whatever wants to come up, come up. I am. My question is this. If you, we're going metaphorical, remember, if you were a landscape, what landscape would you be? Landscapes are mountains and cities and deserts and moons and oceans and all, any place, any setting, theaters, classrooms. What would you be if you were a landscape? I am. Are you ready? You're just going to go with the first stuff that comes to you. You just start writing. We've got a question. It is who you are right now. I am. I am. But also, in this moment, God can do what God does best, and you may find he might restory it even as you're writing, and you can allow that to happen. I am. If you were a landscape, who would you be? 5 minutes straight, flow of conscious writing, ready and go. Start writing. Whatever comes out, comes out. Don't worry if it's good or bad. See some of you thinking too much. Stop thinking and just write. Sorry? I know I'm putting a yoke, a pressure yoke upon you. It's good for you sometimes. Just write. Halfway through, keep going. Even if you think you're finished, keep going. The best stuff comes after you think you're finished. and about a minute left. As you're writing, be lifting this up to God. Allow God, what He does best, to restore things. To use this visual, this image, and restore a bit. Start heading towards your finish. Last sentence or two. Finish that sentence off. Now, here's what we'd love you to do. I'd love you to find a partner, someone next to you. You could go maximum three, otherwise we won't have enough time for everyone to share. So maximum three in a group, but see if you can just do pairs. And if you can, if you feel like you can, you don't have to, but if you feel like you can push yourself and could share this little piece of writing with your friend about who you are, could you do that? And then just spend a little bit of time praying for each other. Once we've done that, I'll come and finish off with a prayer. And then is there more worship or anything, or we'll just finish it and then Matt will come up after I pray. So just have a chat, have a share, have a pray. Go for it. Just make sure everyone is shared in your group and maybe pray for each other, and then we'll bring it back in. Share a quick prayer for each other. Just begin finishing that up. Start coming back in. All right, friends. All right. So, who enjoyed that process of writing? Oh, look at it. Great, wonderful. Who found a flow in their writing as they, who felt like they tapped into a bit of a flow? Who found it really hard and was like, oh, great, good, honesty, please be honest. Yeah, for some of it, it's really hard to do that kind of thing, to let yourself have to do that. Who felt emotional at some point during that process? Either, wow, look at all that. And do you know why? Because God's restoring. Because you weren't just doing creativity there. God is bringing healing to things that need to be healed through your creativity. That's what creativity is meant to do. So I'm going to pray for us in a second. If you want, I had a whole bunch of books and CDs that I bought over, and I sold them all at the last conference, unfortunately. I thought I bought like 80 things and they went. So if you go to joelmcarrow.com, it's up here. I have a whole bunch of stuff up there, videos and things like that. And I've got, my album is called Welcome Home. It's the title track that I just shared with you, and it's with my band. So it's with violin and keys and percussion and a female vocalist singing choruses over my poetry and a bunch of different stuff. So please, you can get it there. And I also just released a book called Hollowed Out Lungs just a few, like 2 months ago. And you can get that from the website as well. So website, find me on Facebooks and the Instagram so I can show you my projected self. And no, just kidding. Hey, it's been really wonderful to be with you here tonight. I wish that I could be with you here all week, but I'm headed back to Australia on Saturday morning. I begin my journey back to Australia. So this is kind of a drop in and share with you, and I won't get to see you this weekend, but I know that it will be an amazing time for you. I know that, and I'm sure it already has been today. I hope that you could take what I've said and might it inspire you throughout this week just to create. Go and create-ishly in this world Go and live ishly in this world. Let yourself off the hook and allow God's grace to be bigger, as huge as it is. Let me pray for us, hey? God, I thank you for my friends here at Gathering of the Artisans. And as they gather this week, may they truly be welcomed home. May they find and know a place of belonging where they don't have to pretend or be anyone else than they actually are. And God, would you meet each person here exactly where they are, not in spite of who they are, in spite of all those things in their life, but in the midst of them, because of them, within them. God, would you meet and be present for them as they create, as they play, as they paint, as they craft, as they write, as whatever they're doing, would you be right there with them, giving them the courage to risk, to create? Would you meet them? And as you meet them, may you take those things that have defined them for too long, those stories that have defined them for too long, and may you begin to restory their life. Would you rewrite the text of their lives as they open the book of their hearts to you? So God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we surrender all that we are, our creativity, our spirituality, our connection to you, our connection to others, our self-thought. May we surrender every single part of ourselves to you. Once again, tonight. Not that we may then go on and live perfectly, but that we may live in the grace that you have for us as we chase after you in this world. I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for trusting this Aussie.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.